Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. This is Satchitananda of Love. I'm very excited tonight to have my very special guest that is creation himself, Jyoti the artist, with me tonight. And I just wanted to start with a little bit of something that's coming through. the last couple of days I've had much awareness about creation itself, and I really feel like something shifted in me in the last 6 days, and I'm really feeling like I've felt in times before in my memory bank anyway, where I've had the awareness that change was occurring so dramatically because addiction ends. Now, when I say addiction, it means for me any time I reach outside of myself thinking that there's something there that can fulfill me, and it stopped. It's just stopping, and it's amazing because when I'm in that energy, I know that creation itself is born through me in every moment. So I just wanted to share briefly what came through me, and it's a chapter in the book that I began to write in 1999. I had an issue with the man I was with that I was living with in Canada, and I dramatically, first time in my life, just packed up my Lincoln Continental, which was a beautiful car, in total fear, packed up what I had, and I was driving back to Florida. And when I got to Pennsylvania, I went into a panic attack. And I called my son, who was always like my surrogate husband, and I said, "John, I'm afraid." And he said, "Mom, get in that car and get home." And when that happened, I started hearing a voice. And the voice told me to start writing down what it wanted me to write down. And by the time I got back to Florida, I had a full book, and it was called Heaven's Formula. And that book is an amazing book, and I just picked it up about... I'm going to take this off speakerphone because I think it's starting to reverb. So I wrote the book, and I started to really conceptualize the concept, which is what I was living. And so when I picked up Bruce Lipton, which I keep talking about the last couple of shows, the book, The Honeymoon Effect, it's everything that I wrote in Heaven's Formula. So I felt it's time for me to bring it back to life. And what I'm doing is rewriting it somewhat, changing the chapters, adding to it. And so this is what came through to me. And Jordy, please just be on hold for a moment. I'm going to bring in just about maybe about 2 minutes. So what it says is that my sharing of course is for me to make known what I can't see otherwise. So that's what I do with this show too. It's like I'm speaking out loud so that I can hear what God himself wants me to hear. When I notice anything in my world, what occurs is a vicarious connection that takes me from present moment. Here is where I become lost in time and I enter a simultaneous reality where I now am, where I have taken myself by leaving the present moment. And what I was distracted by then becomes what I now live in. I'm going to explain this, but let me just finish reading it. So, for example, I'm sitting alone in silence, and all of a sudden a couple sits next to me, and in the next table, let's say in a Starbucks, and they start talking about disease. They say, "Oh, I'm feeling so sick, my throat, oh, it's aching." And I notice as they're speaking that I become interested in that which I'm hearing. I, at that moment, have entered the sick zone. So here is where I now become part of the paradigm called disease, and now I actually catch the cold. Not actually, but by assuming the new state, it makes me vulnerable to all possibilities that reside where I am now. So when I'm in the state of the sick zone, what happens is every program in me that resonates with sickness becomes activated. So the more that I focus on that conversation, the more my mind-body shifts, and I actually change my cellular structure by entering the place where disease lives. The dynamics of my being is transformed by me entering what I would call the dead zone. To change this reality, I have to come back to present moment and regain my consciousness and allow the power of love I am to reconfigure the cells which take me back to who I am as love. And I know that Jordy is going to be able to totally relate to this because that's what makes him Jordy the artist, because he stays totally aligned with the God I am or the giver of all, and he becomes the pure vessel. But I know that when I open the phone lines, that Jordy's going to say he has his moments where he does catch a so-called disease, or he does get distracted when somebody says, you know, maybe that would be better brown than green or whatever, and how we can get caught in that mindset that actually takes us from God himself. So I'm going to open up the line and let Jordy in on the conversation. Hi, Jordy.
Hi, that's really funny. I'm just sitting here laughing at you the whole time about that, too, because I knew you were going to try to do something like that and spin that around on me. That's so funny. Well, my first thought was about the 6 days that you started talking off on the first thing you were saying. And as far as the sickness thing, I just was going to think, you know, I hope you don't keep talking about it so we don't start thinking about it, because you're 100% right as far as, you know, what actually occurs.
Right. So now, in alignment with why we're here, which is to talk about creation itself, can we then see how anything can take us from heaven in every moment? If we allow ourselves to be diverted on any level, it doesn't matter. It could be a sensory, you know, an itch. It could be a smell. It could be somebody, you know, vocal quality. It could be anything. But for me, it wasn't sickness. It's just the mindset of watching myself sitting here listening to the infinite possibilities, let's say in the Starbucks, where who's talking about insurance and who's talking about politics and who's talking about sickness. And all of a sudden, I become either overwhelmed and I say, I got to get out of here, which is really being conscious, I believe. Or it's like saying, but let me respond to this guy because he's wrong, you know, or let me do that. And as soon as I react on any level, I'm disconnected to my source. I just took the plug out.
I can explain exactly what that is, by the way, because I've been thinking about it pretty consistently lately. And, you know, there's two conclusions I've come to, and they're both a little freaky, to be honest with you, because it's truth, you know what I mean? It's actual truth, and it's like, it's almost too much for me to even, like, think about it, you know? But I know, it's like that, though, you know what I mean? Like, some things you wonder, if you put that out there, if you say it, the things that people are going to start thinking as a result of it, you know, it causes a chain reaction, you know what I mean? Some things are like that. Some things are just so intense that they can do that.
It's not even some things, it's all things that are like that. But when you get, like you said, abstract, it really does freak out the system as a whole. But anyway, so continue.
Because, I mean, even myself going along, you know, day to day, like with the type of awareness that I can have now sometimes, it's like, you know, I just see everything in such a light that it's like the difficulty for me is to realize how much so many people are walking around in truly an illusion. You know what I mean? Really walking around in the illusion that they consider to be their lives, you know, because they're looking around and they're seeing everything going on. But what they're seeing are forces being bounced around. And we're basically the mirrors for those forces. And it's the same concept as, you know, that opposites attract, except that it's not that they really attract, it's that someone who is the asserter and someone who is the receiver, and it's always about energy moving from one point to another point. And you know, you basically are going to catch an energy, you're going to turn to a certain way in life, and something's going to come at you. It is inevitable. It's the same way that the thoughts in our brains are communicated through the cells, you know, bouncing off of each other in the mind itself. Anyways, I don't know if I should keep going on because it gets a little scary, so.
Well, for me, it's, you know, it's all in the mind. I don't even see it outside myself. And that's where I go because, you know, I'm so in the knowing that I'm in a land of walking dead, that most people are, you know, it's the night of the living dead. And it's not a judgment. It's just an apparent, you know, reality. And when I stay in my power, it's even more that way. It's even more that way that I'm conscious and my world's not. And that's where I get, which I really want to get into at some point tonight, which is about the compromise that we tend to do in order to sustain ourselves and the body in certain realities. And we don't have to, because there's infinite fields of realities that we can step in and out in every moment. But until you really get to that conscious state of understanding, which, you know, you can't blow me away with what you're going to say. You know, we may blow half of the audience.
No, it's not you that I worry about. It's, you know, it's the general population, because even people that might hear this stuff for the first time and might say, that sounds completely nuts. I mean, I'm sure some people out there might be able to say that just because they're not thinking
mm-hmm.
about it, you know. But even the people who even react to it that way still have the thought inside of them, you know. And,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just not
hard.
Something I don't know. I want people to focus on the love and on the energy that they are, you know. And
right.
It goes back to the thing you started off the conversation with, talking about the 6 days. You know, you were saying
mm-hmm.
6 days ago you felt it in the church. And I say, what are you talking about 6 days? What is 6 days? 6 days is nothing. 6 days doesn't exist. There is no 6 days. There's the same now moment that there was 6 days ago. It's the same moment. We're still in that same moment, you know?
But really, it's not the same. It's a series of moments that are, as from the perspective of the perceptual realizer, that they are moments, but they are dramatically different, because every beat of being is so precisely, intricately unique unto itself. And it's not there for now, like it's there for eternity. But what I am now and will be and in this moment is forever, like you're saying. It never changes, this particular aspect of being. But right beside it is another and another and another, you know, into, you know, infinity. And so when I realized that, and that's what I've become aware of, I mean, a lot of stuff came through with Jesus again. You know, I keep getting Bible verse and getting...
Well, everything is based on the teachings of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned, too. I mean, to me, he was like just the ultimate scientist. He really broke it down in a way people could actually understand. You know what I mean?
So
he gave us the perfect
concepts. Well, what came to me last night, you know, I started channeling Jesus. He came to me and he was telling me about his disciples and how everyone kind of lost faith in him. And when he started walking, you know, the stations of the cross, and they, you know, little by little, a lot of them, you know, just they started losing heart. And then he said, and then when I was on the cross, there was only a few there. Because, and then I lost it. I was like, oh, my God, why didn't I tape it, you know? And then I all of a sudden I said, why didn't I tape it? And then I heard, it's all about false idols. All idols will fall. And I was like, oh, my God, that was what the crucifixion was about. He said, my body's an illusion. You're following Jesus. It's not about me. It's about the spirit I am. It's about the Christed one. It's about being one with the Father, not my body that I'm wearing. And so he went the distance to say, all idols will fall, even me. Let me go. You know, let me go. And, of course, Christianity is all built about holding the body called Jesus. I mean, every Catholic church, he's still there on that cross, you know. So for me, that was like, oh, my God, because I say it all the time, to have no false idols. And it really is that nothing of this world is anything but what you make it. But the truth of what you are as Joy Day the Artist is creation itself. I mean, you've come to realize that heaven is here. It's now. And all you have to do is just let it flow through you. You know, as you were actually narrating your work, because, you know, I watch it, I hear it, and I'm back and forth. And you were so, so present with God this week. You know, you were really, there was no, absolutely no doubt about Jody the Artist. No doubt.
Hmm. Well,
so anyway,
wonderful
you
to
know
that it's coming across that way. I don't even know how to even really describe it, because, I mean, you're 100% right for some reason, too, which is not that surprising at all, except that it so specifically is right, you know? Like, it's as if you've been reading my mind or something all week. It's kind of weird. No, but I've had such a plethora of wonderful thoughts that seem so, you know, they just seem to explain things to me so clearly. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know, just little things, you know, the little nuances about every moment. Just everything breaks down, and I can understand, you know, how it's put together. in the different levels, you know? It's,
right.
It's beautiful.
And that's what I'm talking about with the 6 days. Was it the 6 days? No, it was a mindset that believed I needed time to assimilate the state that I'm in now, which is it's absurd. It was just a blink of an eye. But the fact is there's a clearance. Something's out of the way in me now. And I don't even know what that is. I don't even have to know what it is. All I know is I'm a vessel again. And I know as a vessel, and I started writing the book, and as soon as I started writing, I said, oh, no, here I go again. I'm losing heart. And right then and there, I get this paragraph, and it's absolutely a beautiful chapter called The Dead Zone, you know. And it's all part of Heaven's formula. So I was like, oh, my God. You know, as soon as I let go of the need to do, it becomes me. God becomes me. The dream God has wants to be made, is being made through me. And it is, and there's no effort. You know, you're dancing with your art now. You're dancing.
Well,
and
you know, have to admit, but I've been working on these trees lately, and I actually, when I was putting the plaster areas together with the tool, you know, just working the shape of the trees out, I literally felt more, I mean, I did not, you know, have a confusion about whether or not it was my hand, you know, putting the actual stuff there. But the thought I was having, I was thinking, you know, this must be like the same sensation as, you know, God laying the bark in the trees in real existence, you know. I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm seeing bark materialize in front of me, and I'm just thinking, how could it be any more or less different than that for, you know, for any existence, any state of existence, I guess. And then, I, you know, then when you really think about it, well, this state of existence is God. I mean, that's the state that this is, like you're saying, you know, because that's what Jesus taught us. I mean, it's reinforced, you know, we are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know, and that's a oneness. And it's the truth. And that's, you know.
And there is only one Son of God. I mean, there's only one Son of God. And who is that? We are. And who's God? God is. Who are we? We're God. God in experience. And so your lover right now is your murals. That's your lover. You're having an affair with you're having a love affair with your painting. Your murals, your creations. And in that other book that I'm writing, the one I need the last chapter for, that's what I talk about. Michelangelo fell in love with David, and that's why he saw him. That's why he was able to chisel off the excess, you know. And it doesn't matter what you fall in love with, because everything's love. But when you said to me last week, the last time we spoke, there's no need to be lonely because you're one with love itself. And that's the truth. I mean, that's what I teach. That's what I live. But the body, you know, wants so much to touch, because for me, creation is making love. But it's making love to a man. And that's okay. It's not good or bad. But that, to me, always has been my masterpiece. And everybody in creation, every individual of God, individualization of God, is uniquely, personally, you know, reflecting an aspect of God. And so for you right now, I believe you're opening up to much more than just the painting, but I see the words coming now. I see the energy of the higher self being made known through you as well, through verbiage, which I knew was happening. And that's basically why we connected with you when we did months back. But anyway, so, you know, I want to open the line. There's some people here. They're coming and going. And so we're going to have the lines open whenever people want to, you know, ask a question or do whatever. It's open. And it's an hour and a half show.
Oh,
we
cool.
have another hour to go. So anything you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about besides what I just shared? Anything we want to add to it or take from it or whatever?
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. How are you?
All right, honey. For some reason, we're losing the connection here, so I don't know what's going on. But we lost. Have you been listening for a while?
Yeah, I was just wondering what was going on. It was just, like, real quiet. I thought it was supposed to be, like, talking or something.
Yeah, well, we were on for a while, but then we lost all connection. So that sometimes it happens with blog talk. Did you call for any particular reason? Do you have a question that you'd like to ask? Or
I'm just wondering what this is about. like what you do?
Well, it's a love channel. So what we teach is really basically how to live in love, how to stay in the world and live in a higher mindset and a higher vibration so that you basically live in a more joyous and peaceful life. I'm a teacher of A Course in Miracles, and I kind of live my life that way, knowing that everything in my perceptual reality is of me, through me, at me. And so I try to help people, aspects of what I call the one, find their way, because some people are lost, some people are still sound asleep, and they don't realize that, you know, their vibration and what they feel about themselves and what they think about themselves does become materialized in their reality. So does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, like you're saying, like, we need to love each other more. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's really not loving each other more, it's about loving the self and knowing that the self is one with the higher knowing or God or universal intelligence, whatever, and that all the power that be is in you. It's not about reaching out and, you know, asking anybody for love or looking for love outside yourself. It's about finding love within yourself and then sharing it with your world.
So how do you do that?
Well, for me, you know, again, I had an awakening a long time ago, and I realized...
How do you know if you have an awakening? That's one question I want to ask. How do you know if you have an awakening?
Well, for me, my whole life changed. All of a sudden, I started loving everybody, and it was, like, really weird. So, and then I started having a lot of abilities, psychic abilities, and I started seeing, like, things and spirits and stuff. And I was opening, like, to extrasensory experiences, nothing I ever dreamed of in my whole life. And then I started meeting people that I knew I had past lives with.
That is,
you know?
Weird, because, like, I feel like I'm having an awakening right now, and it's kind of weird.
Do you feel like you're having an awakening?
Like, I'm having an awakening right now, you know, like things are trying to come to me more and more love, because yesterday I felt like a loving spirit upon me, you know what I mean by that?
Oh, without a doubt.
Like,
and
it was flushing in my spirit.
Wow, that's very cool. You know, the consciousness itself, universe, is like waking up. We're in the golden age now, and a lot of people are waking up to, you know, they're starting to see synchronicities and saying, oh, my God, that, you know, I just saw that person, there they are, or, you know, oh, wow, look, I was just thinking about, like, red cars all over the place. And it's because we're waking up and we're seeing that our mind really does determine what we see. Because what we focus on 24/7 is what we're going to feel and see in our world. And that's every relationship that we're in is basically showing us what we feel about ourselves. So how do you feel about that? Do you feel your relationships are teaching you about yourself, showing you, you know, how you feel about yourself?
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes I feel like I don't even love myself sometimes. I don't know why.
A lot of people have that issue.
It's because of the stuff I've been through. It's like my ex, you know. I felt like he was my one true love, and, you know, he's not there for me anymore, so.
Well, let me just do that a little bit with you. Let's do that. Let's work through that a little bit, because that's what I like to do. I like to help people see where they're coming from. All right, so if somebody's not in your life, that means that they don't resonate with you. And so what did he represent to you? What do you feel he represented to you?
Connection.
If you have one. All right, but what did he bring up in you when he was with you? I'm talking about the good and the bad, you know, perceptually.
Like, I felt like I was totally loved by him, you know what I mean by that?
You were totally
like
loved
felt,
by
like, I felt the unconditional love, you know what I mean by that?
I know exactly, but why do you think you let that go, honey? Just give me one second, because I want him to be in on this. I'm just waiting for him to, his line to open up. He's my co-host tonight.
Cool.
Here we go. Jude, are you there?
Yes.
All
finally.
Right,
that's
now
like I just went through a time warp.
We did. Anyway, so now what was your name, sweetie?
My name is Pauline.
All right, Pauline.
Pauline?
So.
Pauline?
Pauline, right? With a P?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
with a P.
Pauline. Now, that was unconditional love. So why do you think that you And because it, let's just pretend that there is no him, that he's just an aspect of you that you love about yourself. So what do you think, why do you think that you let unconditional love go?
Because of what I put him through and what he put me through.
So what did he put you through? Well, if you wanted to look at that, if you can just say, like, what feeling that he put you through.
He cheated on me.
So that's betrayal, don't you think?
Yeah, he cheated on me, and then I tried to get him back because I knew he was cheating on me.
All right. So now, so you, but you still thought he loved you unconditionally, right? I mean, you felt that he loved him. All right. So, you know, it, and it's really not funny. It's sad. It's very sad. But if you look at it from the perspective that in you are two parts, and a person that loves you and a person that doesn't love you. And it's not that you don't love you as the Pauline, beautiful person you are, but you were taught not to love yourself on whatever level. You came in with that energy, and your parents negated a lot of you. They made you feel less than important. They made you feel not special. So that part is in you. So when you meet somebody initially, that first attraction really feels like love. And that's the truth. That is the truth of your being. But as soon as you start interacting with that person, all the other things start happening. The remembrance of being betrayed by mommy that one time, or by somebody else when you were a kid. It doesn't matter who it is. And what starts happening is that you start seeing that aspect of you as the betrayer rather than the lover. Does that make sense at all to you?
Yes, like betrayal.
Yeah, that betrayal actually is in you. You were betrayed, and so you project outward a man to do exactly what was done to you before, not, you know, as far as the way he did it, but the feelings that come up with it. So that you can address it again. So you could say, I got to heal this. And he's doing the same thing from his perspective. But he's feeling not loved too. So the two of you basically are going back home. And it's like you're going back home to mommy and daddy and saying, you really don't love me. Would you please tell me why? You know. And basically it's all about our foundation. But the truth is, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's just funny because I always tell my boyfriend that he doesn't love me.
All right, right, exactly. It's because it's a part of you that was taught not to love you. And so what we do here, Jordy and me tonight, is we try to bring people back to the state of remembrance that you are one with the giver of all, with the infinite field of love, or God himself, if you want to call it God. And you have the power to be loved, be loved. And so that's what we want to bring you to tonight. Joy, do you have anything to add to what I just shared?
Well, you do have such a good way of getting around to all the different bases when you talk. You know, there's nothing really I can necessarily add in this particular case, except that I was thinking when you're talking about that, about in relationships in general, how we will often try to get back at somebody because of somebody else. I mean, it might be, you know, might be the person you're with, or it might be somebody you're not with, or whatever, but I actually saw a thing just tonight on TV. It was about a mom, and she was abusive to her child, and she was talking about it very openly, and she was saying that she was abusive to the child because the child reminded her of the guy that she got pregnant from. And that's all she could see when she looked at the child. So she wanted to actually, like, hurt the child because it was a part of him, you know? And it's just funny. It really, yeah, you know, it happens to everybody. I mean, anybody can blame one person for something that they did, you know, or didn't do. The act of blaming in general is just a bad idea. We really do have to just understand that life is just happening, you know? And there's so many things going on at any given moment that you just cannot expect to be able to control everything that you think you need to control, you know. You think you need to control what happens between, you know, him and other people and him with you and all that, because that's what we believe we're supposed to think, you know, because it gives us a feeling of security. But that's only because we think in terms of things we can lose in the first place. And the fact is, you can't lose love. Love is something that you actually have in you the whole time. You're never getting it from someone else. You're only getting it from yourself. So when you stop feeling love, you really have stopped loving yourself. That's really what happens, you know. So I don't want to talk too much because we'll lose track.
But we have conversation here. I love the fact that there's an open conversation. Pauline, you were going to interject something. Not what you're going to say, baby.
Like, you said you can't lose love, and it's in within yourself. That's, like, really true.
I want to tell you something. Go ahead, honey. Go ahead. Let me hear you.
Like, sometimes I feel like I'm not loved, but then again, I feel like, you know, I still am loved from my angels and everything. It's weird. I might not be loved by everyone else that treated me wrong, but I still feel loved by God.
That's it. That's the key. Let me just go back. I wanted to tell you something that I've come to realize. I want to tell you and Jordan, because it's a gift that I'm sharing with myself out loud because I want to hear it. But I understand that every relationship I have is about me relating to me. So how I treat myself is how I'll be treated outwardly. And so I don't believe there's others. It's just mirror images of what I feel about myself, and whether they're conscious to me or unconscious, they're still mirror images. So what I try to show people is that when you fall in love, and it could be, like I say, that first puppy dog or that first love relationship, or Jorge with his art, me with my lover, when I fall in love with that part, that's the truest moment that I can ever experience. And when I stay in that energy of love, I can't go wrong. But as soon as I start allowing myself to go into another reality called the past and remember what it felt like when he looked at me that way, or she did that to me, or what about that person did that to me, it brings me back into the past. I'm not conscious anymore. So what happens is the program plays like a recorder or like a record. You know, years ago, they used to play those records on the record players. And if you didn't take the record off, they just keep going round and round and round. And so that's what happens. And unless we turn it off by coming back in the moment, we get so caught in it that the relationship ends. It breaks up, but it's really not about the relationship. It's about me. Because I decided to leave the relationship, reject it, and go into the past. But not only me, the person you're coupling with is doing the same thing on their end. So when you stay present in love and dedicated to love, that I am loved. And, you know, it's not easy, because we were all taught that we're less than loved. Even if people didn't mean to do it, they did do it to us. And so when we come back to the moment and remember, I'm loved. You know, I feel so loved personally. I had to teach myself. I had to reparent myself. And I love. But I don't love just anyone. I love everyone. And if I don't, I have to come back to me. Anyway, so that's that.
Well,
Joy, did you get...
Pauline, I just wanted to tell Pauline, you know, if you want to really know how to is the question, you want to learn him to get through the betrayal because you still want to love him?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Well,
it was just like a knowing, you know what I mean? Like a knowing that was supposed
right.
to be the person.
Right, sure, exactly. Yeah, that's a lot of chemistry, which is always a good thing. And then it's also, you know, it's a feeling of oneness. You know, you just simply feel like your thoughts and their thoughts are basically usually along the same path. And, you know, it's like best friends, and it's like Goosebumps and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
What?
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. I was just going to say the best way to ever see anyone when you want to find yourself with the most able possibility to love them, it's just to look at them, but realize that the person, you know, the creature really, but the person you're looking at was absolutely at one point a little two to three-year-old child, you know, stumbling around, just learning how to walk and, you know, falling on their butt and, you know, whatever, getting excited about orange juice and stuff like that. And that's the same little creature that you're looking at. You're looking at that little child. I mean, they might have grown up a lot bigger now, and they, you know, you figure, oh, they can walk real good and run real good, but they're still the same infantile little thoughts that still bounce around in their heads, you know. So if you just remember that they you can look at them like literally a three-year-old, you wouldn't have any choice, right? But
yeah.
Forgive a three-year-old for whatever it was. You have to forgive them. You just have to, because they're just a little child. Well, we're all little children of God. You know, that's literally what we are. We're just as silly and goofy as little babies crawling around to God. That's what we are, you know. And when we feel that forgiveness in ourselves that we can offer people, we're actually feeling, you know, God's will. And that's the beautiful thing about being a child of God, is that God's love is always there, and God's will is always that we share that love, because that's, you know, that's why we're here. That's what we are, right? I mean, here we are talking, right?
Yeah. So you're saying, like, you got to forgive.
Yeah, but Jordan, what's going on here, because I'm feeling a lot of emotion from Pauline right now, is that she's feeling like the little girl that's not loved and forgiven. And doesn't know how. She doesn't know how to remember, because she was really never taught how to love the little girl. And she's feeling totally devastated by her best friend leaving her, you know. And so I understand that, and I want you to know that my heart is with you, because I've been there. We've all been there, you know. So how do you feel about that, honey? How do you feel about seeing you as a little girl?
I've seen people, like, literally, like, my boyfriend was saying that he was talking to my grandma, and, like, she was literally telling me how I cried myself to sleep at night without a mother or anything.
Yes. So it hasn't been an easy road for you.
Nope. It's been a bad road.
You didn't meet us by accident, because anybody that I meet personally is in transition of some kind, and they'll never be the same. And it's not about me, it's just what comes through me. And so when you're saying that you feel like all of a sudden these flashes of love happening, Jordan, you didn't hear that because you weren't on the line, but she's starting to feel like a little bit of an awakening happening. And that's because you are awakening, and love is becoming you. So, you know, I don't want you to lose the connection with us. You know, my email is anandaoflove@aol.com, which I'll put on the chat room if you want to go there or whatever. But it's
what
Ananda
is it called?
It on the Ananda, A-N-A-N-D-A, of love at AOL.com. So you can write me. I'm on Facebook.
You're on Facebook too, aren't you?
Yes.
I've seen you on Facebook.
All right. So then connect with me on Facebook, and then we can talk there. But know that you're loved. And whatever happened with him, don't judge. Just try to stop. Like Jordan said, try to not judge it no more. Let it go. And that's not easy. But remember that you have the power in you to change anything, because God is with you. And I'm not going to talk about the religious God. I'm talking about an awesome, loving God that's just there to give you everything. But for you, you weren't given that foundation, so you don't know. But it's going to be giving you. It's coming through. And just know that and hold on and try to make peace with your lover in your mind. Try to keep sending him kisses and hugs anyway. Because, you know, the truth is there is only love, you know?
You were both really acting out of love the entire time. It was the feelings of love were getting misguided, but, you know, that was both of what you were going through, you know, in reaction to the betrayal, and then in the actions he was doing that were, you know, wrong to you. You know, really, you were all on a path looking and trying to feel as much love as you could in your lives. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. There's something that we can understand about that, you know.
And somebody said today to me, which is so beautiful, you know, if you can't feel the love within, start giving love to people. I mean, there's so many lonely people that just need to know they're okay. And you've got so much love, Pauline, to give. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And just go, and just if you see a little kid that wants a hug, or you see a little lady or a man that looks sad, tell them that they look great, or just say, I love you. Or give them a hug, you know? And you'd be surprised when you do that how good it feels. You know that they're feeling it, and you're feeling it more than them. Somebody will be.
Yeah, the more love that you give away. I mean, it's cliche, but the more love you give away, you can. It'll just keep coming. No matter what you try and do to avoid it, you're going to get slapped back with it tenfold. I mean, that's what happens. And that's just the fact of the matter. The more love you give, it's going to come back at you bigger than you ever put it out, I promise.
Yeah, and I feel it in you. I feel like you are opening up to such beautiful love. And I'm not just saying this to make you feel good. I'm feeling it. So be cool.
I feel
that,
too, to where, like, there's, like, a love, like, a guy that's coming to me, and I don't even know where he's at.
That's all right. You don't have to know. And, you know, make him every guy you meet. You know, I always say become the love you desire. And the only way you can become it is to beautify yourself, is to make yourself really feel beautiful, and whatever that means. And it's not a physical beauty necessarily. It's a feeling of knowing you're okay no matter what. And when you walk in that confidence, in that love nature, it's godly. Jorge does it all the time. He's like such a freaking ham, you know. He's constantly saying he's Jorge the Great, you know.
What? No, never. I never do that. What are you talking about?
I'm only kidding, but he does.
I'm very humble. I promise. I'm a very humble person. I'm so grateful.
That was a compliment. That was an absolute compliment. All I'm saying is he walks in the knowing. Because he knows that the art that comes through him is of the higher nature. And we all have the higher nature. All we got to do is let it in.
Pauline, when you just said how you felt like there was this lover that was in your near future, I guess is how you were saying it, and you could already feel them. Is that what you were saying you're starting to feel like?
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel it like there's something that's coming to me, you know what I mean? Like, something amazing. Like, something
I like that feel. I think the lover that you're feeling is actually yourself, you know? You're just feeling a closer connection with God, and it feels like the love, you're right, it feels like the love of another, because it's not necessarily another, but it's the greater self of us all. It's the feeling of the fact that life is literally flowing through us all in a conduit, you know? I mean, we're creating a path for energy to travel, and that's the feeling you're talking about. That's that kind of love. And yes, that's a love that you can share with someone and bounce off of another person, very good. And you'll find a lot of quality relationships with that being part of it, definitely.
This is weird. What time is it? It's saying that we have 7 minutes left. That's not possible, because we have like an hour and a half show. Anyway, so Pauline, hang in there like we're saying, because, I mean, hang in there. In this moment, everything is beautiful. It's absolutely divine. a wonderful conversation, the three of us. And we're all feeling the same. We're feeling loved. And that's what it's about. And the more that I feel it, the more that it ripples out. And the more that it ripples out, the more it multiplies. And then it just, everybody around you feels it, giggling. People used to tell me all the time, you're giggling. One of my students invited me to a retreat this weekend, and she said, in a sense, I'm glad you didn't come, because it was silent, and you would have been giggling the whole time. And I can't help it, because when I'm happy, God energy, I giggle, you know. So I'm not going to make excuses for that, you know. That's joy personified. Anyway, connect with me on Facebook, and Jorge the artist is Jorge's Facebook, so you can connect with him as well.
Yeah,
right, Jorge.
That's the best place. That's the best place for me, right? I got an email on Yahoo also, but if you're on Facebook, just go to Jorge the artist. You can't miss me. I'm all over on Facebook too. It's Jorge, Jorde, and then my last name. Mm-hmm. My last name is The Artist, and it's just one word. Looks like The Artist, kind of a neat word.
And
I'm
The Artist? I am. I guess that's a good way to put me, yeah.
I love it. It's so crazy. Anyway, so I want to start talking a little bit more about who's listening. So I'm going to put you on hold, baby. And again, like I said, everything's coming. It's coming through you. And then once it comes through you, then it'll come at you. That makes sense. Once you really feel God impregnating you with total love, which is what's happening, you'll see it all over the place. And maybe, I believe it's a physical manifestation of a male coming. But, you know, who am I? I don't know what I'm talking about. You'll see. And then when you see, then you keep, you know, just keep in contact. And don't be afraid to write and ask any questions that you want, okay?
All right.
I love you.
Yeah.
You too. Have a beautiful night. And we're going to continue the show, even though I said I only have 4 minutes left. It's lying. Okay. So anyway, I really want to. It is. I want to talk. I'm really upset. Why is it saying I only have 4 minutes? You know what? It's probably only on an hour, but I think what's his name said to me, my darling angel, Iggy, who is the owner of this station, is you can talk anyway and it'll be recorded. So anyway, so Bruce Lipton, you don't know about Bruce Lipton, do you, Jordan?
No.
All right, Bruce Lipton is a biologist who was one of the first stem cell people like 35, 40 years ago. And he's come up with the knowing that if you take unhealthy cells from a petri dish and put them in a healthy environment, they immediately become healthy. So I was teaching this for 20 years, but I wasn't teaching it from science. God was just telling me this, and I would be with people and work with, you know, people, not even touching them. They'd be in my classes, and they'd say something happened. You know, I'm not the same. And which is really cool because, you know, I was feeling God all the time. And so now that I know through science is confirming it to me because it's blowing me away that every time I take up Bruce Lipton's books or his YouTube, he is speaking what I've come to realize and been dying to meet a scientist that could validate it for me. And here he is. And I did write him personally a long letter. And his secretary responded saying, it's beautiful, we love it, and, you know, if he can get to it, he will, but just know that we got the letter. And so basically it is where I'm coming from totally is it's all about me and God. And everything in my reality is an outpicturing of that. And that doesn't, it means if it's a lover, it means if it's the desk that I'm sitting at, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything's of me. And the more I become clear about this, I mean totally clear about this, the more I'll see Jordan's murals. Because I can only see a clear reflection of God himself if I'm in present moment, which is what you say a lot, you know? And I really feel that what I just said somehow is inspiring you. So what do you really want to say?
Oh, no, that was actually, I like how you just said it. That was the best way of putting in the words. That's really cool that, I suppose you're exactly right. That is the best way to feel, you know, God's absolute presence through you in the moment is to realize that time doesn't exist and to absorb that single thought right there. I mean, if you do that, you're...
Time doesn't exist, but also there is no other because there's only one sun, and the one sun is a perceptual view of, you know, viewpoint in a sense, because they're all experiences for God. So if I look at that, really look at that as the way that I'd like us, it's saying 90 seconds, that's so silly. If I look at it that way, then I know that then if there's only me and God, and then what comes through me is of God, and if I see it in all its perfection, then I know that it's God himself seeing himself. But if I see it in a discordant way or a way that's not congruent with peace and love, I'm not clear. I know that I'm seeing a perceptual other and believing that other is real. Now, I don't know if you agree with that because you're still into the mindset. I don't do television. I'm like a complete recluse when it comes to society norms. So I don't know if you want to talk about that at all.
The society norms. What are we even talking about with society norms?
You know, like politics and things like that and, you know, whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
I actually just think that... It's really just, it to me, honestly, it's constantly amazing to just sit back and look around and just realize exactly what's going on. You know, I'll give you a small example, okay? And, you know, this thought could be taken further, but just the other day I was watching some dogs running around, you know, and playing, mm-hmm. and I was just thinking to myself, you know, I'm looking at those and I'm realizing that what I'm actually seeing are... literally the impulses of energy which are driving the body And that impulse of energy is based on a frequency which it's receiving. You know, the body receiving stimulation, and the physical body is not in any way unlike a marionette. I mean, it's very much so. It you know, literally electronic cords pulling the strings, right? I mean, this is the reality. And if you can realize that thought, you know, we can discuss it later if you like. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of an intense thing to start to ponder. You know what I mean?
I think it's clear as a bell.
Well,
I use Pinocchio all the time. I mean, I use that scenario. If there's anything to illustrate better than like telling you what it is. Because, I mean, he was a puppet, and then he became a boy, and then he became a puppet. You know, and so, and all, you know, all the lures of the world, the attraction
and it all goes back to the energy impulses in the first place. The energy that bounces from one creature to another creature in the form of energy exchange, all right, that is timeless. You know, this is a continuous thing that goes on throughout our civilizations. It continues through the people because it is the unstoppable energy force that we know. You know, we know energy is that it is. It doesn't go anywhere. It just bounces from here to there. And we literally spend our entire lifetimes bouncing, you know, the energy back and forth. That's exactly what we're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's a funny thing because when you really consider it, I mean, you know, when you really consider it, most of the actions that the human body goes through is based on an energy force which has entered the body. And that force is what, you know, the physical body takes almost all of its energy to do that activity, which is just an impulse. It's just a drive to do that one thing. So the body goes through all those motions, you know. But it's the will that you have to wonder about. You have to say, what is the driving force, you know, that created that thought for the person to actually, you know, get up, go out the door, and go and do that thing, you know. Because that's truly where the life is. That's what we call inspiration. You know, we wish to receive divine inspiration. You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean, but also I know that quantum physics says there is nothing going on but attention. Realize what you talked about last time. So my constant quest is the state of God realization. And when I understand that the tone, the tonality of my being, the sound frequency, what I'm emanating in as far as sound is becoming form. It actually is materializing into form. And so for me, I used to always say to people, just give me your computer for a half an hour and I'll tell you what's going on in your body. Just give me anything that's yours and I can tell you what mindset you're having. And that mindset has determined what you're living and experiencing. So now, because I really feel that I've done all that jazz, it's been fun, I danced the dance of thinking that I was anything thinking that, now I say, you know what, I know nothing. God is, I am. And so that's when all of a sudden this wonderful color comes through me called Joy the Artist, or the paragraph from my book, or all of a sudden this beautiful flower appears, or whatever. It doesn't matter, but I don't have any preconceived ideas about what will be in the next moment. So my only intent is God realization, you know? And that's it. That's all we ever need, because we're only the servants or the puppets for God, like you said. We're the marionettes. And not that it's good or bad, because we are God too.
Isn't it interesting too to think about how very literally is that our bodies quite literally reflect the same type of a bouncing communication that ants have in an ant nest, and that we associate with the neural, you know, transmissions in our brain cells, where we see the little thought zap to the from one spot to the next, you know, as it goes.
Yes.
And all of that is exactly the same thing. It's literally only, and you break down those individual impulses. You know, you keep breaking them down. It's really easy to understand, you know, God as existence that is around us, which we consider to be the Holy Spirit. It's very easy to understand that. It's very, very easy. I mean, it's so simple and so clear. It's not even like there's anything to even ponder.
As soon as I reach outward, as soon as I reach outward, as soon as I look away, I'm away. I'm gone. And that's the stage I'm at. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. That's the stage I'm at because I see that when I do that, I'm believing in a reality. You know, the 4 months without my glasses, and it's getting really, really wild because people know me with contacts or glasses. And, you know, it's like 4 months, no glasses. And they're like, how are you doing it? And I'm saying, I just decided that I want to see with God's eyes. I don't want to see with my eyes because my eyes are weak. They're not clear. And, you know, I tell you, and I mean this, if I don't remember that I can't see, I see perfectly. And I had 425 in one eye and 325 or something. It's a prescription and astigmatism. So, I mean, it's like...
Well, that's good. I don't know anything about those numbers, but congratulations.
It's not even congratulations. It's like, you know... Either I get it or I don't. Do I still reach for herbs? Yeah, I take, you know, cayenne. I mean, I take different things. Do I believe it? No, in that moment, I merge with it. I become the painting. I become the lover. And I realize that that herb is just reminding the cell of my being in God that it is there for me to feel great or whatever. But I don't lose sight that when I'm doing this stuff, that I'm doing it within God and I'm just the recipient.
When I'm painting, it is kind of interesting because I'll have my glasses and I'll wear them sometimes and I won't wear them sometimes, and sometimes I won't wear them on purpose because of the need to see in a different way, just to be literal about it, you know. And of course, what we really see is really what's in our head as far as what we think we're seeing in the first place. So, I mean, it's... But what's amazing, you know, is I walk up to the wall, right? I walk up to the wall, and it's so big. It's so big in front of me. It's huge, you know? And I'm supposed to be able to make sense of what I'm painting, right? But the only thing I can really honestly do is project an image of myself, you know, standing across the room watching myself paint in order to understand what I'm actually painting. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I really have to do that, you know?
I got to tell you this, but, you know, for a while I'd walk the bridge a lot, and I'd catch my shadow while I was walking with my camera, and I was blown away by the fact that I was capturing my shadow that was behind me in front of me in the camera. Anyway, I still can't comprehend it, but that's what I did. But when I watch you, and I don't watch you, but, you know, I'll see the different stages of your development of a mural, you are the personification of what I teach. Because I can see step by step the evolution and the alchemical process of manifestation with your art.
Yeah, I remember when I first came across your info and whatnot, it just seemed like you were like, I almost felt like you were literally the epitome of like basically the someone who has the soul thought that is essentially the driving force in my life, but it's not necessarily something I always think about. But you actually seem to come across as the person who does have that soul thought going through your mind at all times, which is really cool, because I noticed that just from, you know, from seeing what I saw of you when we first ran across each other.
I have at least 4 people this week that wrote me and told me that I have helped them, whether it be famous musicians, people that they said, you don't understand that, you know, you made this happen. And I'm like, it was my, but I'm getting the gift because I'm seeing the manifestation of my ideas out pictured. And it seems vicarious, but it's not. It's in my mirror, you know. But for you, it's a little different, because what I'm saying is, because as you're developing the completion of that experience called mural, I'm actually seeing it as if it's frame by frame by frame by frame, as if it's a movie.
That's wonderful. That's what I always wanted to do. You know, I always wanted to share the complete experience of creation with people so that they could understand it and have it too. You know, I try to share it with everybody as much as I can.
You got it. I mean, you actually have it. And from my perspective, once one person in your reality has it, everybody has it, it's there. And it's just a matter of them tapping into it.
And every little thing, every single little thing makes a difference. Every little comment, every little like, every thing that my, you know, my clients do while they're around me in the room, and, you know, every conversation that we have and any other conversations I have in my entire life while I happen to be doing what I'm doing, every single thing affects the individual nuances of everything I do, you know?
So now where does it begin and where does it end? Does it start outside of you, or is it you projecting outward exactly what you've come to realize about yourself as God? You know, because really it feels like we're getting it from outside. And I tell this to people all the time, they go, and then go, why don't you take credit? I'm like, because it's not me, it's you in me in you telling you what you can't see other than through Ananda. But the reality is it's just you giving it to yourself, whatever it is. And it's not even you giving it to yourself, it's God giving it to you and you accepting it. And, you know, it's different levels of awareness that I'm coming to grips with. And it's really divine.
Yeah.
You know, it really is divine. I mean, it is so beautiful because we're waking up. And it's not just some of us. Everybody's waking up. Everybody around me is waking up.
Right.
You see that?
Me too. Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to talk about it. My friends are just reconnecting with, actually, I was speaking to them the other day, and, you know, they're doing real well, and really, like, just that we're having conversations, you know, and the conversations are like what we're having, what you and I are having right now.
I love it.
And it's fascinating. I was actually specifically telling him that I noticed that, you know, he's just so much more intelligent now. And, I mean, you know, his wife is so intelligent, you know. And, I mean, it's just, and then I realized, you know, when I'm, you know, talking to him, like, wow, you know, we've all become geniuses. Like, when we weren't looking, we all became geniuses because we have access in our hands at any given point. I mean, literally, we have this. We actually have the power to know the answer to any question in the world in our hands at any given time now. We literally have that ability. We all have that now, just about, with these smartphones.
We always have, we just didn't access it, but now we're starting to access it. That's what the age of Aquarius is. We're out of the age of industrialization.
Yeah.
We're into the mind now. We're into the creative, you know, workshop.
Well, we're hearing so many voices at the same time now. You know, every day we're all going through all of our friends. We're talking to all of our friends, all of our, you know, in the past we weren't doing this. I mean, not that the past exists, but, you know, last time I looked at this moment, we weren't doing that. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And, I mean, the thing about it, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. We can't do anything about it because we have access to it. But you know what the scary thought is? If one person out there managed to control that, that would be somebody with the power to cut everybody off from their information so quickly.
That's why it was hidden for so many centuries. But the reality is, there's only one, and the one is all good.
It is the reality. It really is the reality, and we realize it now. We can realize it because we can all verify it with each other, like we're doing right now. We can actually all have lengthy conversations about this, you know, back to back to back to back to back with so many people. And we can very quickly, you know, see the thoughts. And it's always that way, even if we don't have any kind of internet connection. Yes, it's true. But what we wouldn't be able to talk about it. You know, we would just be feeling it, you know.
What I want to do is I really want to go into a little bit deeper with you, because I really think that I can do it with you, because I think that you are in the same vibration as I am right here and now. And I want to talk about parts of the self that are a little bit lost, that, you know, were in their mind, in their perceptual world, you know, very evolved. And what I talked about earlier, which is my little paragraph of where the interference patterns happen, and as soon as we get caught in the interference pattern, sometimes we get lost in the woods and we don't know how to get back out. And that's a part of what I wanted to share tonight. And, you know, I met one of my students today. I took my little Johnny to see Monsters University, which is, like, so freaking cool. Anyway, and one of my students came with her little boy, And afterwards, she, you know, she's always talking to me about it and asking me. She's evolved so much since we've been together. And she said that to me. She said, you know, I'm so clear, but, you know, I'm still having the kids distract me, and I'm the approval that I need and whatever from my child, it's still coming up. And I'm so clear, but I still keep getting caught in these patterns of what was, and then I get lost. And I react, and everybody's affected by it. And so, you know, for me, I used to always teach what's in your first band of awareness, which is your periphery. What you see in your first band of awareness is your neighbors, your everyday folks, you know, the store owners, the people, your neighbors, whatever, your lover. And when you evolve, you start breaking through that first band and you go into a second band, which is a little unfamiliar. And the unfamiliar sometimes is uncomfortable, more for the aspects of you that are in that field. If this makes sense. If it doesn't, please stop me. Anyway, so when you go to that
level. I'm listening.
All right. So you go to that level, that second band of awareness, and now you're more evolved, so you're going to have more mirrors that are evolved. But because you're not certain of that, you start having interference patterns by these aspects that seem to be out of you, but they're really patterns trying to bring you back in the field of what was, the patterns that were. After all, I was for 30 years in that, you know, mindset, and all of a sudden I'm changing. So it's like I used to always say, you go to a new neighborhood and you get lost because you want to keep going back to the old neighborhood. You lived there for 30 years, and now you got this new neighborhood, and somehow you lose sight as you're driving home, and you go to the old neighborhood, and you say, what am I doing here? And as soon as you go to the old neighborhood, you meet the neighbors, and you can't get out. Who wants you to have a drink with you, whatever. But if you stay present, and that's what's mandatory, and I say present, I mean consciously aware that you are in charge of what is to be. And when I say that, when you say that, it's like you're calling God in. Because you're
let me throw in my two cents here, because you're going on a lot of you know, different paths here with what we're talking about. But I would just jump in and say that in general, if you think about your past, you know, you're talking about coming into full acceptance of your life and not having different ranges of emotion based on certain moments in the moment, right?
You know, emotion is not, it's a learned behavior. So even to talk about emotion
okay.
is always about, it's always about the past.
Well, the point being, I understand what you're saying. You're saying you want to be able to clearly look at your whole life and not have things blocking your view because of the need to feel peaceful and at one with everything, and yet you want to maintain that composure, and there's some things you feel like you can't think about and maintain
no.
that composure, so you want to get through that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that my teaching is about that how
mm-hmm.
these people in my life that come to me and say, but I'm getting caught in what was. I want to stay in what is, but I'm getting caught in what was. And I explain to them that it's mandatory to take charge of your attention in that moment. And say to yourself, this is just me pulling me back into what was.
Okay.
And if I go back there, it's going to be what was. So
well, what I would focus on is looking, understanding that you can't look for a memory, because a memory you're not going to find, because a memory was your creative, you know, experience in that moment. That's what your memories are, the creative experience of life. But the reality is going back and breaking everything down with your wise thoughts and accepting the reality of what really that moment was, and being okay with that too. You know, like for instance, the position of
You're coming from a very evolved state. You're coming from doing the artist that can work 16 hours straight with God and have no interference. But now I'm talking about somebody, and these are bodies that have four kids, or they have a bad relationship, or they have cancer, whatever. And what I'm saying to you is that when in Bruce Whitlipton's work, he's saying that the unconscious is 95% of what we see and what we do and what we feel. And 10% or 5%, depending on how evolved you are, is conscious. And the only place that you could really choose peace is in the conscious state. So a lot of the programs that are playing unbeknownst to us. And so you're saying in a very abstract, beautiful way, but we can address it in a way that makes it clearer and more beautiful and whatever. But that's joy to the artist, and that's a Ananda of love.
No, that's just that. Look, you know what that is? It's being honest. It's just simply not lying to yourself. It's not saying that your memory was what the reality was. It's acknowledging that your memory is selective and that you're going to sugarcoat things for yourself and that you're going to make things seem like grand experiences when maybe they weren't, or whatever you do. It just be honest on that one level and then go back and just think about things without telling yourself it was about you. Because, I mean, that's the reality. We all want our own personal experience. But the problem is when you think it's all about you and then you go back in your memories and you say, well, this and this and this person, that person, then they start to ruin your good memory. But once you acknowledge that they were there and that they were part of it, of those good memories, then you can forgive them and love them and move forward. You know?
Okay, what happens with Pauline? What happens with Pauline, which is a lot of people in my perception of reality that didn't have a mommy who's been violated from the time she was born? How does she go back in peace? And how does she have a relationship based on her not having mommy? Because mommy was paramount for her because she never knew how to be loved. So I bring people to the present moment and say, okay, the only way to really transcend this is to stay here and now. And the only way to do that is to know that you have to stay here and now. And that's the authenticity that you're talking about, to stay authentically present and allow yourself the rites of passage to cry, to feel. But there are people, like, let's say, you know, that were from, the Phil was in a poetry group years ago. She was in Africa and she was a female, so they cut her female parts, you know, and she was doing poetry and smiling, but this girl was in agony as I was watching her, you know. And so this is the human experience is what I'm saying. So all I'm saying to you, and I'm just sharing it with the audience, and I know that you get it, because if you didn't get it, you wouldn't be able to bring forth what you're bringing forth so beautifully, you know. It's apparent that your connection is much stronger than many that I know to God, because you know that you can't be distracted when you're in your dance. You can't be. Very rarely can you be.
I have to. Are you saying very rarely I get distracted, or
very rarely
what are we
get
saying
distracted.
About? Very rarely I get distracted. In other words, do you think that I stay extremely focused?
Extremely focused when you're creating.
You think so? It's amazing. You know, I almost feel like it's a constant struggle to stay involved with it, you know? I mean, that might
That's
sound weird, but... What's what?
That's just your inner demon trying to keep telling you that you can't do it on some crazy... because you stay focused, because it's done.
Right. No, but not,
you know,
see, that's what I'm saying. It's not that I don't want to do what I'm put here to do. It's just with all the other life spinning around, you know, it's like, yes, there is 1,000 things to distract you from it, you know?
That's exactly
but,
what I'm talking about. But you don't
Yeah, well, I guess it's to your point. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I feel like I still haven't made my point. No, I don't mean talking today. I mean in general with what I'm doing with my art, you know. I don't even know what the point is yet, you know. I mean, I know what I'm trying to say, and I know what we're talking about and what we're sharing, and I know what the experience is, you know. But I'm just real excited about the next 15 years, you know. Not that time is something I, you know, go by, but in relation to the last 15 years that doesn't exist, the next 15 years that doesn't exist is going to be great, you know.
But you're excited about it. It's an adventure for you. It's an adventure for me.
Yeah.
Every moment adventure for me. I'm on a trip. I mean, I'm going to go to New York. Maybe in 4 days, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I'm going to just go to New York. I want to do Central Park. I want to do my healing circles, my playground, and just do my, you know, mind-mending circles. I want to go and talk in one of the centers I always dreamed to talk to. I want to do satsang. I want to be in New York in my hometown, doing what I am, being what I am. And, you know, I'm just going to do it. And I don't know when, but it's coming up. I already am there. I don't even have to worry about it. I just got to transport or teleport, whatever. But the thing is that what I'm trying to do is to reestablish my goal and my center, which is to know that God is I am. And I am is infinite. God is infinite. And the part of me, the part that I play, is infinite. I don't have to stay in one reality. I can go and dance. I can go and sculpt. I can go and shoot. I can do whatever I want to do because I am the receptor. I am the female that he wants to give everything to. But so are you. And that's why, you know, your art is one part of it, but you're also a writer. I came to this awareness today, and this is beautiful. I want to share it with you because you're special to me right now. I really feel a really strong symmetry going. My ex-husband was a writer, and he mostly penned the books, but I was the author. Because everything that came through us was my teaching, was my truth, was what he was observing of me. And I really, for the first time, claimed that for myself, that I really was heart-centered so much that I didn't care that he was taking down my constant love sharings and my poetry and my prose. I didn't care because God was giving it to me and I was gifting it to him to pen, you know. And I didn't care whose name was on it, whose name, I really didn't. And that's the beauty of knowing that you can be godly, that you can be so connected to God that all you want to do is bring forth the beauty of and the grace of God, you know. But to claim being the author, that's the first time that I was able to do that. And then I'm humbled by it because I'm just really God's puppet, you know. You know what I mean, Jellybean?
You gotta stay humble. I mean, you really do. I mean, because, you know, well, you know what? Having greed consumes you. It absolutely does. It's so cliche. Some of the things you realize, you know, you can become as enlightened as you want to get. And I don't care who you are. If somebody hands you $500,000 or $1 million, I bet you're going to be tempted with some greed. You know, it's just the way it happens. It's just the natural reaction. You know. But
I always had money, and I love to play with it. I love to buy gifts. I always had everything I ever wanted, but I never coveted it. You know, I would take 30 people out to dinner and say, let's go party. And not because I just wanted to do fellowship, you know.
That's exactly right, yeah.
You know, so it's all beautiful.
I mean, I've been focusing a lot more on giving back in every way possible. I mean, that's something I've been doing a lot of, is just, you know, trying to, as quickly as I can, just, you know, try to give back in whatever way I can, you know, wherever I am, however, just, you know, keep putting it back out there. Just keep putting it back out there, you know. And the funny thing is that once you start doing that, you realize it really is like, you almost get like a rush from it, you know, like oh my gosh, I'm going to be covered in a tidal wave of love.
We have a minute and a half left. And, you know, and so I want you to close it, but I want to just tell you that I want Ananda animation. I want that so bad. I want a little girl dancing and teaching when I, like, you know, like a spiritual chick, you know, somehow. So I'm opening up to that reality. So God bestow upon me. He's obviously planted the seed, but I think it would be a beautiful way to bring me forth on the YouTube and teach what I've come to realize, you know.
Oh,
anyway,
that's
so
very,
you have a
minute. Okay, all right. Well, I'm just going to tell you about a little experience I had the other day that's very simple but beautiful. A friend of mine was describing things that she was seeing, and she's moving her hands around while she's talking and thrusting her hands this way and that way and describing flowers. And I swear, while I'm watching her do this, I was literally seeing flowers appear like in the air in front of her in a flash when she... I really was. I mean, like, it was as real to me as if the flowers were there, but for just a flash, just for a moment.
But that's
it was
truth.
Cool.
That's what's going on.
I realized that her energy was so strong, and she was directing it so clearly through her movement that I saw it. I realized that she was that, you know, that gifted herself with
with a pure energy that could be, you know, directed at her will, you know?
That's coming through you, though, so you were seeing it. Anyway, this has been a beautiful show. I love you. Thank you for being here with me. And, you know, we're going to stay in our center, I hope, and just stay really clearly in love with everyone as God would have us. Have a beautiful night, Jordan.
You too. Have a beautiful night.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.